tonight we are in Proverbs chapter 7. So let's go ahead and pray and then get right into Proverbs 7. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time we can spend together in your word, and I pray that you will guide me as I teach and that you will give us a blessing from your word. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give to us each day. We thank you for the blessings of life and health, and most of all, for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless all who have come to the services and all those who are teaching. And I pray, Father, that your word will grow in our hearts and bear fruit. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, well, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 7. And let's go ahead and go to the next screen. I've got a review question for you. What person did God use to write the book of Proverbs? Somebody on the front row?
Solomon.
Very good. Good job. So, and what, I don't have a slide for this, but what is kind of like the theme of Proverbs? We keep on hearing this word, and what do you think it is, Andrew? Wisdom. Yes, it starts with a W, wisdom. So we're going to continue looking at wisdom as we look at Proverbs 7. So we see Proverbs 7, it says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye." So now it says my son here, but is this for girls also? What do you girls think? Is it for you too?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good for boys and for girls. Now, Solomon probably had a son that he was thinking of, that he was writing this for. But what he's writing is wisdom that is important for boys, girls, men, women. Everyone should learn what Proverbs says because it teaches us the wisdom we need as we live life. So, what does he say that his son should do with the commandments? What is he told to do with the commandments? And there's a little hint on the board, too. Ian, what is he told to do?
To not lie.
Guys, let's not be talking. If you have an answer, I'll call on you when you raise your hand. That's a good thing, but no, what is he told to do with the commandments that he is given? He's supposed to do something with them. Yes, in the back. Miranda.
Treasure it,
exactly. Truth is a treasure. Can some of you tell me something that you treasure? It's really important to you. You take care of it. You put it in a special place. And maybe you try to collect more of them. Different people treasure different things. What do you treasure?
Money.
Okay, that's a good thing to treasure. That's valuable. Different kinds of money, like old money or just regular money?
$2 bill.
A $2 bill. That's kind of special. Those are kind of rare. Does somebody else treasure something? What do you treasure?
I treasure my family.
That's a good thing to treasure. They're very important and very special. What do you treasure?
Food.
Okay. You don't want to go hungry? That's important too. So truth, though, have you ever thought about the things that you learn, you know, like in school and here at ABC Kids? And when your parents are teaching you, those things are a treasure. They're important. They're valuable. Truth is a treasure. You know, that's why we learn memory verses. We are treasuring God's word when we memorize it because we're saying it's important and we want to remember it. Now, it talks here at the bottom about the apple of your eye. So let's take a look at that. Let's go on and look at that here. Oh, I have a picture of treasure too. Yeah, we looked at that earlier. We were talking about treasure. Let's keep on going. What is the apple of your eye? Before we go on, does anyone think they already know what's the apple of your eye? Andrew, what do you think it means? Wisdom? Okay, wisdom, truth. But what does that phrase even mean? Let's go on to the next slide and get a hint. Here's a picture of an eye. What is the apple of the eye? Right there. The pupil. That's the part that light goes through. Now, the blue part, or for some of you, it might be brown or green. That's important, too. That's the muscle that makes it bigger so you can see in the dark, or smaller on a bright day. But that pupil is what lets the light in. It's pretty important, isn't it? So the apple of your eye, it means it's something very special, something very important. Yes, Isaac?
Why is that?
I don't know. Somebody who had their picture on the internet, I just found it in a search. Let's keep on going and look at the next part of Proverbs 7, verse 3. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, as we go on, what do you think? Is that supposed to be literal? Are we supposed to bind them literally on our fingers and write them on our heart? That might be kind of hard. That might be kind of painful. Well, let's go to the next slide. Did you know that some people do bind things on their fingers? Why do they do that? Have you ever seen somebody do that, like write on their hand, or they tie a string around their finger? Why do they do that? Ian, what do you think? Why would somebody do that? You don't know? One of you guys, what do you think? Why do they do that? Anna?
So they don't forget.
So they remember, they don't forget. That's the key here. You don't have to tie a string around your finger with a Bible verse on it, and you don't have to write the Bible verse on your hand. In fact, if you're trying to memorize it, you know, don't do that to cheat, you know. Actually learn it. No, but we should remember it. The truth is something that we should remember. Now, if you look at this next slide, it's kind of interesting. Actually, did you know some Jewish people actually tie portions of the scripture to their head? And they even bind it around their arm? It's just a way for them to remember how important scripture is to them. But, you know, in Jesus' day, it sometimes became a way to show off. You know, people would make the box on their head, like, really big to say, I am super spiritual. But that doesn't mean that you are closer to God or that you're any better than someone else. It just means you're really proud, which actually is a bad thing. So no, we don't have to actually tie the Bible to our head or write it literally on our heart or tie it around our fingers. The important thing is to remember it. Don't forget it. Let's keep on looking at Proverbs 7. What should we say to wisdom? Look at what it says. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Now, raise your hand if you have a sister. Some of you have a sister. Yeah. And that's someone who's close to you, right? Maybe you play with your sister sometimes. You talk with your sister. Well, here's a question I have for you. Here's a question. Do we treat wisdom like an enemy? Listen up, guys. Listen up. How do we treat wisdom and understanding? Do we treat wisdom like an enemy, like an acquaintance, or a close friend? You know, an enemy is someone, they're trying to hurt you, and you don't like it when they come around. What's an acquaintance? Can somebody tell me what an acquaintance is? That's kind of a big word. Ashlyn, what's an acquaintance?
Like someone you don't really hang out with. Like they're just someone there.
Are they an enemy?
No.
No. You know them a little bit. But then you have a close friend. What about you? Is wisdom like a close friend to you? Like a brother or sister? Here's how we can tell. Let's go to the next question here. How do we receive correction and instruction? When people are teaching us, maybe correcting us when we're doing something wrong, do we see that as something bad? Like wisdom is an enemy? Or do we see it as something good that we are glad to receive? Just like we would be glad to see a good friend. or maybe our brother or sister. Let's keep on reading in Proverbs now. So verse 5 tells us that there is a danger. You know, if wisdom is like a good friend or like your sister, there's something out there that's not so good. Proverbs 7:5 says that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. You know, wisdom is good, but there's also things that are bad out there. What is the opposite of wisdom? What word could we say, Eliana? Foolishness, yes. There's wisdom, but also there's a lot of foolishness out there that will try to trick us and deceive us. Let's go on to the next question. What is the opposite of truth? What do you think? Right, and there's a lot of that out there too. And it's easy to be deceived. Here's another question. What's the opposite of good? I'm sure everyone knows this. What's the opposite of good?
Bad.
Bad or evil. And there's that too. Yes. So there's wisdom, truth, and goodness, but also there is the opposite as well. Let's keep on going. It's not a question of maybe. All of us will be tempted to do what is wrong. And you know what? Often the tempter will act like a friend. Hey, I want to help you out. I'm going to show you the right way. But really, if they're showing us foolishness, if they're showing us things that are not true, things that are not good, they are not a true friend. They are trying to flatter us. Go ahead and click on the next word here, flattery. You know what that is? That's when somebody is telling you lots of nice things, but not because they care about you. It's because they want to hurt you. They are telling you nice things and pretending to be your friend. We all will be tempted with these bad things. So let's now take a look at something. The power of telling stories. Because what Solomon does now is he tells a little story. Now raise your hand if you like a good story. I like stories. You guys like stories? What about the visual kind of stories? You know, like a movie. Anybody like movies? Those are stories too. Well, I've got some pictures of stories here that you may have seen before. These are common stories. Let's see the first one. Has anyone ever seen this story before? What story is this? The tortoise and the hare. Yep, they ran a race. And who won?
The tortoise.
The tortoise, exactly. Now, the next one might be a little trickier. Let's look at the next one. What story is this? Do you guys know? Yes. The lion and the mouse. Did the lion eat the mouse?
No.
In the end, what happened?
The mouse became a lion.
Whoa, he's talking. Exactly. Pretty surprising. Now let's look at the last one. Here's another common one. Ooh, can you tell what it is, Miranda?
The ugly duckling.
Yes, they're powerful stories and they can teach us. Well, Solomon also tells us a little story to teach us about wisdom and about being careful about those that will lead us the wrong way into foolishness. Let's go on. Here's the story Solomon tells. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. That's like the parts in the window. And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Does this young man have wisdom? What do you think?
No.
No, he's devoid of understanding. He doesn't have any wisdom. He's simple. He doesn't have wisdom. Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with a crafty heart. Go ahead and click it. Notice something. Notice that this happens in the light or in the darkness. Where does this happen? How does this happen? In the light or in the darkness? Yes, right? You don't? Anna, do you know? In the dark. Look at all the words. The twilight, the evening, the black and dark night. This isn't sounding very good. He's going to meet a woman. And do you think she is going to teach him wisdom and truth and goodness? Let's find out. Let's keep reading this story. What happens? With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, remember that word flattery? She seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Is she going to show him wisdom? Is she going to lead him in truth and in goodness? No. She is leading him in a bad way. And in fact, what will be the cost of this path that he is going on with this woman in a dark, black night? What will be the cost of it? His life. The high cost of low living. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. And sometimes, you know, it just seems like just doing whatever we feel like doing, that's the fun thing to do. But when we choose to do what is wrong, even if it feels like it will be fun and enjoyable, if it's the wrong thing, there is a high cost. And for this young man, who doesn't have wisdom, he doesn't realize that cost will be his life. Let's go ahead through to the next. Is she leading him in a good path? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. What do you think? No, she isn't. What is the cost of his decision to go with her? We said it. Say it all together. What is the cost? His life. Very good. Let's see how this ends. Go ahead to the next one. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Now, isn't this interesting here? Those that go after this woman who's leading them the wrong way, they were strong men. Maybe they thought, it's not going to hurt me. I know other people have done this and it didn't turn out well for them, but I'm strong. It will be different for me. It's not going to hurt me. All who were slain by her were strong men. And her house, where does it lead? Go ahead to the next question here. Oh, I have another question too. What strong men in the Bible made foolish decisions? Does anyone know a strong man in the Bible who didn't always make the right decision? Ileana.
Samson.
He was a strong guy, but he didn't always do the right thing. In fact, go to the next slide. I've got a picture of him. What in the world is happening to Samson? Maybe some of you know the story of Samson. What's happening to him, Isaac? What's that? Can you tell me what's happening to him? Wow. Doesn't look like a very good day for him, does it? Yes. And who betrayed him?
His girlfriend.
Yes. Look at her right there. She was not good for Samson. And he made some bad decisions, and it turned out very badly for him. But we don't have enough time to look at the story of Samson. If you'd like to look at that later, it is a very interesting story. Let's go back one slide if we can. Where does her house lead? This woman who's leading them astray, where does it go? Where does her house lead?
Hell.
Yes, to destruction, to death, to hell. Now that's kind of negative, isn't it? But you know what? The opposite is true as well. Why did God give us his word? All the instructions and the commandments and all the stories in it as well. Just as the lies and the things that are evil and the things that are foolish lead to destruction, God's instructions, his words, lead us to life. And in fact, did you know that God's word became a person who lived among us? Who is that? The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, a human being, who by his life showed us what is true and what is good and what is right and what is wisdom. Do you know who that was? Jesus. And just like we sang about this morning, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we don't have to follow the way that leads to destruction. We can follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now at this time, we're going to be dismissed. And as we do our memory time, remember that truth, the truth of God's word, is important. It shows us the right way. And that's why we should treasure it and hide it in our heart.